Blog Talk Radio.
Coaster ride from jubilation to desecration. Good evening, Eddie. How are you?
Well, doing pretty good. Maybe we should change the name of that song to Blunderstruck. It's a double overtime. Blunderstruck in a big way, and I don't think there's a serious Ranger fan out there. This one really hurt, Jim.
How about Blunderstruck?
Yeah, I mean, I know you had trouble sleeping.
I did.
I saw Claude and Ava today, and they couldn't even take it, the double overtime. They were kind of like watching from, it was just getting late, and they were watching from another room. They couldn't even watch the game. It was getting so intense, and I had serious, serious anxiety issues during that second overtime. Well, the whole overtime, and third period overtimes. You know, this one is an old-timer, one that I will not forget for a long, long time.
Unless they pull the miracle.
Right. But still, it was almost like I was taken back to 94 in the double overtime games, again, which we pulled out. But these to go through what we went through, especially after the first period of just, you know, it was everything we could wish for. We scoring, the crowd, which that crowd was stellar last night. Tip of the cap to them for really just coming out and giving Boudreaux the business. And, you know, I gave you a long answer to a short question. I'm doing good. I can't really say I feel better right now because now I kind of feel they've dug themselves a hole that most likely they're not going to be able to dig themselves out of. But who knows? You know, who knows what's going to happen? So I feel for all my, you know, fellow Ranger fans because I think we're all going through it. You know, you try to keep it in perspective. It's only a hockey game, but we all hear people listening to the broadcast and people in the chat room and people that we talk to daily. We put so much time and effort and love for this team. And I know the first reaction is to point the blame finger at somebody, but I really don't blame anybody. You know, I don't know what. I can't put my finger on it. I don't know how you feel, but it's tough right now, but we're going to try to, you know, lighten the mood. I did get some emails from Chris from the UK. I never had a chance to respond, but Chris, yeah, you're right, man. It was a toughie. And even the people in England are feeling it, the residuals of this loss. So how are you doing, my friend?
Well, I'll tell you what, since you mentioned Chris in England, let's also mention our new friend, Gary from England, who's been listening to the show, and I hate to do—he's been in here listening to the show. He's been with us live in the chat room a couple of times, But I don't remember if he's Spoon on the Moon or if he's NYR Coops UK. So he's going to have to correct me on that when he hears this. But he put a great picture up the other day of himself with a homemade doobie stash, kind of like what I did for the show the other night. And I actually shared that on my Facebook, some funny pictures of himself. And he sent us a nice message the other day that I'll read real quick. I'd like to say thanks for the warm welcome to the show. I started listening to the podcast at the start of the season and got Jeff Cooper on board soon after. So whichever one of these guys is Spoon on the Moon, the other one's NYR Coops, I guess. Well, I guess Jeff is NYR Coops. That makes sense.
Gary Knoll is Spoon on the Moon. Gary.
Right. Okay. Is Gary here? Is he in the chat room tonight?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I just looked at a message he had sent me. So.
Oh, okay. Every day at work, we are always listening to the shows and joking about the comments and stuff about the Rangers. I really learned so much about the Rangers this season from listening to you guys. I don't know what I'm going to do in the off season. I really love my hockey and haven't missed a Ranger game all year. It sucks at times getting up at midnight to watch the games on center ice, then go straight to work in the morning starting at 5 o'clock. Isn't the best, but the Rangers are worth it. Could you please send me a link to the torrent for the Oh Baby video torrent? All I can say is Jim and Eddie, I love you guys. Cheers, Gary. Gary, thank you very much. Well, we'll keep you busy through the off season. We don't go away just because the Rangers do. So we'll be here with you. We'll I'm sorry, I got a funny message from Eva. We'll be here all summer for you, different kinds of shows and some guests. We have the great Monty Hall waiting in the wings to come on the show in a couple of weeks, and we'll have some other things going on. So we'll have Russ Cohen. Russ Cohen wants to come in and do a draft preview for us. So, and then we'll have Jess back, and we'll have all kinds of stuff going on.
Screw Monty Hall. I don't even want him now.
That's not.
I'm sorry, Monty. If you're listening to the program, I apologize. I'm just in a dour, sour, not Michael Sour, but a dour, sour mood right now. But I'm ready to get a little bit cheered up. I hope misery loves company, as they say, because we got a lot of miserable fans in here. But listen, that was the. You're probably not. I don't mean miserable isn't bad. That's about as bad as it gets, folks. I mean, you know, in the first round, I think, for Rangers. And this is just an update. The Bruins have tied Montreal 3-3. A few fans listening live. But
screw them and screw Montreal. I don't even want to think about other hockey right now.
Yeah.
Well, I was trying to think today where this ranks in the legion of or the itinerary of bad Ranger playoff losses. Obviously, the Buffalo loss when that guy, what's his name, Drury, when he scored that goal late in the game. It was overtime, it was right before the end of the game. I forget now. It's all running together on me. Did he tie the game late and then he went to overtime and lost? Is that what happened?
It's all a fog right now.
Yeah, all of a sudden it all got blurred.
It's so implanted and ingrained in my mind, I can't think of anything else.
I was thinking about a couple of the playoff losses to the Flyers when they had two or three goal leads, when the Flyers had Lindros, and those were bad losses. Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals, where they lost to the Devils and went down 3-2 in that series. Granted, that turned out okay, but we certainly didn't know it the day after. I mean, that was bad because that was the game they played really bad. I think that was the game Keenan called the timeout and didn't say anything to anybody. That was the game where Kovalev took the 5-minute shift. That was the game where he benched Leach and said after the game that Leach was hurt when he wasn't. That was when it almost all unraveled until game 6. So that was a bad one, and this one's right there with the rest of them. You know what this game reminded me of, too? You remember a couple of years ago, I know you remember, and I'm not trying to pick on the Jets, but it just came to mind. When the Jets played the Broncos in the AFC Championship game, I think Testaverde was the quarterback. And they had the lead, I think, in the third quarter. They had like maybe a 17-3 or 17-6 lead, something like that. And I remember sitting there, and I remember watching that game. And 1 minute I was thinking, there's no way the Jets are going to lose this game. And then 5 minutes later, sitting there thinking, there's no way the Jets are going to win this game. That's exactly how I felt last night. 3-0 going into the third period, I thought there's no way they're going to lose this game. And 5 minutes into the third period, I thought there's no way they're going to win this game. The first goal, after that first goal, you saw the second goal coming. And after the second goal, you knew the third goal was coming. And you just kind of got the feeling that if it went 10 overtimes, they still would have lost. They would have lost in the 10th overtime. Very, absolutely disheartening. And we've already got 10 calls on the switchboard.
Bring them on. I need to be cheered up or hear what other people are thinking.
Okay.
And I got some opinions, but, you know, we do that every week or every other day.
Before we get to the phone, since the phone calls may take us right to the end of the show, we just want to, real quick, we want to thank you guys all for being here right now, being with us tonight. Because
big
you guys turnout. Know.
Thank you.
You guys know that when it's time to talk Rangers, there's no other place to go but Blue Shirt Banner Radio. There's no other show like it, and this is the place where you guys want to be, and we appreciate it. We like being here with you, even through the bad and the good. We're always here for you. So let's get to it. Let's go right to the phones. We got this is an unknown Skype call. So I don't know who this is. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Hey, Jim. Hey, Eddie.
You're
John.
On the block number again?
What?
You're on the block number again?
Yes, I'm sorry, guys.
That's okay. I just didn't know what you were.
Yeah, I am not happy about last night's game. Not happy.
Well, who wins, John, besides Caps
fans? Besides Caps fans, nobody in New York City. Nobody in New Jersey either. I don't know what's going on with them. They need to wake up.
So, give us your thought. Did you, as you were watching this unfold, did you think they were going to hang on in the third period, or did you kind of see the onslaught coming? Did you know it was going to be tight?
I was watching it with a friend. I said to him, 3-0. He looks at me at the end of the second period. He says, "Are you comfortable?" I said, "Yes and no." He's like, "Why?" He's like, "The Capitals have the power to come back." Okay? The Capitals have the power to come back. They came back, and look what happened. I even said to him, I said to him in the third period, we needed two extra goals. 3-0 lead is nothing but the power that the Capitals have, especially with the power play, Ovechkin and Semin. Okay? And who killed us? Some lowlife. Okay? We had bottom feeders scoring goals last night.
Bottom feeders? But is that always the way?
Correct. It would have been better if Tom Pody scored against us last night. That's how bad it was.
No, that wouldn't have been good at all.
Exactly.
To burn that place to the ground.
Exactly.
Now, what the crowd? You weren't at the game, right? You were watching with the friends. What did you think of the crowd last night?
I like what they were cheering. Bruce, can you hear us? That was great.
Yep. I like the fact that Ranger
that
fans
was the high
felt
point
their. Yeah, I mean, I like that. Ranger fans took it personally. They felt like Bruce Boudreau insulted their honor, and they took it personally.
Did you?
And where else are you going to hit?
The flip side of that is that if the Rangers fall behind on Saturday afternoon, you know what the chance is going to be.
Yeah, we're going to hear it.
Right.
We're going to hear everything under the sun down there.
Right.
And did you happen to listen or watch SportsCenter today?
No, I don't watch SportsCenter.
Eddie, did you?
I can't watch. No, I didn't. I stood away from sports all day.
Well, they had Linda Cohn obviously doing Ranger highlights with Barry Melrose, and she was just enamored with what happened. Them yelling and screaming, everything else under the sun.
Yeah, well, she's a Ranger fan.
Exactly. Barry Melrose was feeding it into her, and what's she going to do? He's obviously going to talk about hockey.
But she's also been offered several invitations to join us on this program, and has snubbed us every time.
I know.
So.
I know. But I saw this coming. I said to my friend.
All right, you're a Cassandra. Get your crystal ball. All right, don't tell me I tell you so. Feel the pain like the rest of us.
4-1 on Saturday.
I don't think
all
of us were worried.
Saturday Rangers.
All right, I like that.
So they're coming back to the Garden?
Huh?
They're coming back to the Garden.
They're coming back to the Garden on Tuesday.
You know, that was kind of my thoughts today, is that I really hope they could, no matter what happens.
Wait a minute.
What?
Okay, game 6.
Apparently,
Monday's that.
This just in from Joanne Worley. my assistant, that apparently Newman posted on Facebook after the second period that we're 29-0 going into the third period with a lead.
Correct. Correct. But
so
I
you, sir, are up to it.
Jim, didn't I tell you via text that we needed two extra goals? And I posted that on Facebook also.
Yes, you did.
Okay, then. So why is everybody getting on my case? Eddie, play your little violin. I'll honk you out. Goodbye.
Eddie, I'm not even trying to control the switchboard.
He hung up.
Today.
He got rather butthurt and hung up, didn't he?
Listen.
Sensitive?
Very sensitive. I didn't play that. That was all on Jim.
It's all me. I'm running the controls tonight.
I would have blown him up. You were too nice. You were too nice.
All right.
He's a mush.
Now, did he leave the chat room too? Did he go off in a huff? No, okay.
I hope not, but bring on more callers.
Robbie.
Look. If there are any kids listening to this show, put them to bed, okay?
No hello? No hello? No how
go
you
to
doing?
Sleep.
No. All
no,
right,
no,
go to
no.
sleep.
No, go to sleep. Kids, I'm telling you, I say, listen, all right.
Earmuffs,
Bob. I'm 17. 9?
What?
You're 17 years old, a kid. What is he, 9 years old? Don't worry about it. Go say your piece. Say your piece.
I'm telling you, all right. Listen. Boudreaux, you fat fuck. I can't stand you.
Oh.
All right? I'm telling you, okay? If those referees, I swear the game was fucking fixed. There was one point in the first overtime where the referee actually blocked. I forgot who it was, but Gabrick was wide open, would have had a breakaway. No one was there, and the referee was in the way. He couldn't pass the puck to him. Whoever that play was, I don't know, okay? It was
Dvorsky. He was blocking Dubinsky.
Blocking Dubinsky. All right. Now, for some reason, to physically have a play
Polish,
of that.
So.
What?
Sorry. No, they're both Polish. You know, the Pole. Yeah, that's older generation. Don't worry about it. Go ahead.
They made so many ridiculous. Okay, the step on call, that was whatever, fine. But the thing was, that puck was on before that play when he put it into the crowd. That puck was on the net, and the whistle should have been blown. And Fedotenko went like, you know, why are you guys blowing the whistle, okay? Number two, all right? It just, I swear that it's fixed because, call me crazy, this is going to, I don't care. I'm sorry. I can't get
a lot of
fans. This far. What were we saying, Eddie?
A lot of fans feel the same way you do about the divorce.
I'm telling you, The Peg Capitals have never won a Stanley Cup before. Ovechkin's them won. They let Crosby win at 09, and now they want to let Ovechkin win it. It's just because they want to get attention because hockey's not that popular of a sport. I almost threw my cup of orange soda across my basement, my 85th. How the fuck do you blow a 3-0 lead? It's absurd. And this is unheard of.
Robbie throwing his orange crush across the room.
Yes, I don't want to say, but I threw I almost threw it against my HD TV, which cost like over $800. I'm telling you, this is up there with that loss to the Sabres in 07. I remember that very big. It was yesterday, but I can't fucking believe that they lost. I don't know what else to say. Well, 3-0 lead. Lundqvist had that goddamn puck, and they didn't blow the whistle? Are you kidding me? It's beyond ridiculous. I've never seen anything like this. These are the playoffs. These are supposed to be the experienced referees who are veterans and the best referees, not rookies. And they call these referees are beyond inconsistent. I don't know what the fuck, what kind
They're
of game they're watching.
Incompetent. They're not inconsistent. They're incompetent.
That's a better word. And I hate it. And everyone said, now you're going to blame it on the ref. I was like, no, I hate blaming it on the ref, but you got to wonder. I mean, this is ridiculous. They're down 3-1 in the series. I mean, it's honestly, I don't know what else to say. But the first goal, all right. And then the third goal was a deflection. And, you know, Gabbert, they can't you muff the fucking puck like you're a running back in football who fumbled the football. And it's fucking ridiculous. And not to mention that my dad works in D.C. and he got shit at work today. So it's just, that's all.
Yeah.
Fuck the Caps. No, fuck that Gohan. I'm telling you.
This is by far your best call ever.
Definitely. You have turned the corner tonight, my friend.
He hit on several points. And I'm going to tell you why it was a good call. You hit on several very good points. You used profanity. And you said somebody was a fat bastard. Three criteria for a Blue Shirt Banner Radio five-star call. Thank you so much.
Well, actually, there is some interesting news that I found today. Today is April 21st, and it actually does mark the one-year anniversary that was my first call into you guys.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, April 21st. I didn't know. I remember a few weeks ago. It was a few weeks after the shootout loss to the Flyers, and I spoke to Eddie on Facebook, and then, you know, I turned to you on Facebook. I didn't really speak to you as much, Jim, and then, you know, we talked, obviously, and I kept going in, and then, you know, we blew me up about the Knicks, and then they talked about the Mets, and I told you I see things to the Jets and everything, and then the Rangers all summer, and it was just, you know, then I had chat room, and then the blow-ups, and then the curse, and it was just all, it was 1 year ago, it all started today, my friends, and I thank you for that.
I wish you'd have told me that earlier. We could have pulled your first phone call and replayed it just to see how far you've come.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. I was a little afraid talking to you guys, but, you know, knowing that, I remember a few things that set from that day, though. So it's actually one year to the date. I mean, to the time, actually. It was, like, right about 8:30, and it's so, a little bit.
All right. Now this call's going to get, I'm going to downgrade this call now that we've gone down.
All right. But anyway, to sum it all up.
Get on a high note.
The series is not over. It's best 4-7, not 3-7. If they win Saturday, take it back to the Garden. Obviously, the Rangers fans were – obviously, the Grills were one of the greatest crowds of all season. Perfect.
Yep.
So if they win, great. Then they win from a Monday night home crowd. If they win, who's the pressure on the Game 7? Exactly.
Them?
Yes, exactly. So, yep. You know what? They got to win one more game. Remember, obviously, we remember what happened 2 years ago. We were the ones thinking that we were going to advance to the second round, and then they stunned us.
It's the exact opposite, right?
Exact opposite. So, you know what? Drury and Tortorella are saying, you know, we're built to come back, and all right, let's get your work cut out for you, guys. Let's do it.
Robbie, do you believe?
Blow him up. He took too long.
I don't know. But, you know,
You can't say.
Happy anniversary.
There's no concept.
Boom.
Happy anniversary.
If it takes you that long to answer the question, boom.
Yes. Now, I want to address just about the fans. And this is why hockey is so much better than any of these other rinky-dink sports. Maybe the exception of football. I mean, I like football. I think it's it's an intense sport, very dramatic. You know how my feelings on baseball and basketball. Well, only at a hockey or possibly a soccer crowd can you hear people making up chants and saying them in unison that aren't normally uttered. Like, do you hear us? The fact that the Garden was, do you hear us now, or whatever they're saying, do you hear us? And the fact that they could do that at a sporting event, that's something special. I don't want to just say that, and we've seen it in other hockey games too, but the fact that you can get somebody so where all the fans are informed about what this guy has said and is insulted, and the fact that they did that, that was a proud moment. That was a proud moment for me as a Ranger fan because, we're critical of each other. We're critical of our own players, but when it comes down to it, we all band together, and if somebody says one word against us, we give it to him tenfold.
That's right.
Because he looked like a dope. Now, he may have had the last laugh in the double overtime, but in that first period, he was an embarrassment. there wasn't anywhere for him to hide, I was going to say, but really, what would you need to hide Bruce Boudreaux?
There were no airplane hangars around.
Yeah. He looked like a big goof as we were giving it to them, and I just applaud the crowd, and they were saying something. Were they saying Boudreaux sucks or something like that?
Yeah, Boudreaux sucks.
Yeah. But I thought that Can You Hear Us was great.
Yeah.
So I want to applaud the fans. And, you know, we were riding high there. I mean, Artie starts it off with that goal. And, you know, he's just wrapping it around trying to get in an edit. I think it deflected off a cap, right?
And, yeah, I think so.
It went in the net. Yeah, 1-0. I don't know. I can't even recap the game without getting back to the double overtime.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know. So, okay, bring in more callers. Get it out. Show's over.
We have never had this many calls on the switchboard. It actually goes up to number 11 right now.
Well, it's like Spinal Tap. 11?
11. All right.
Goes up to 11.
203-231, I think. Mark, is that you?
Yes, it is. On my cell. That's why it's a different number.
Okay. Well, good evening.
Good evening. Yeah, tonight's a better evening than last night, but I was there, as like I told you guys. First of all, happy Passover, Jimmy. And
I'm not Jewish, but thank you.
I thought you were. I thought you made some reference about being Jewish. I'm sorry.
No, sir.
Oh, okay.
I use a lot of Jewish words.
Is that what it is?
It makes me look good to Marcy Braverman.
Oh, okay. All right.
She likes when I use words like tukus and keister and, you know, Meshuggah.
All right. Okay. Well, then maybe you fooled me. So, anyway, I have a solution, I think, for the fans. Everyone's got it together. Just like we said, can you hear us last night? We're going to say pins and needles, needles and pins. It's a happy man that grins. All right. That's what everyone's going to have to say. Unbelievable. So, anyway.
What was it like walking out of there last night when that game was over?
I was in like a drunken stupor. I just walked out sort of in disbelief, like, you got to be kidding me. I saw the play. I actually thought it was McCabe at first when, you know, because he was back.
Yeah, everybody thought it was McCabe until they saw the
Yeah, and I totally missed it. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, I thought I was interested. They don't even do 3 stars of the game. I mean, not that that's a big deal, but I was like, I just, you know, the announcer gets on up, the Rangers, this, you know, 3, Caps 4, good night, everybody. It was weird. It was like, I've never been, oh my God, is that just over? What happened? 2 hours ago, we were screaming and chanting, and I was so emotionally high, looking at the garden ceiling, thinking, this is the happiest I've been in this building since maybe 83 when we swept the Flyers. I went to one game there. I was like, this is unbelievable. I mean, as high as I felt at like around, you know, 8:30, at like, you know, 11 o'clock, I was like, you got to be kidding me. That's how it ends. It was incredible. It was the most emotional, mentally, physically draining thing I've ever experienced, without a doubt. Unbelievable. I was like, so.
And I've had the hard time describing that goal and the way that ended. It just seemed like a really stupid ending to that game.
I agree.
Was expecting, like, you know, Ovechkin picks the corner. If the Rangers would lose, it would be, you know, a Backstrom dishes it off to Semin. It's in the net. But that was just a stupid.
It was just like, lame. I agree. It was just like, you're just like, what? Something stupid like that. I mean, it wasn't even like a giveaway like Stahl's in game one. I was like, you know, even that, you would have been like, you know, it just was like, what just happened? I mean, I got home. I was so tired, but I was so, like, I couldn't sleep. So I DVR'd the game, and luckily, even with the extended time, I actually got the whole game. Well, I watched the whole game. I was up till, like, freaking 5 in the morning this morning. And I'm like, and I actually felt better having watched it on TV than being there. You know, it was exciting to watch the second period again, because, you know, to relive that was great, because it was, you know, the chance. And just so you guys know, that Can You Hear Us, I went on the pregame bus ride around Manhattan, And it was a guy on the bus who came up with that. He, like, yelled at everybody, oh, here's what we're going to say tonight. We're going to say, can you hear us, to Boudreaux? So, I think that's because that was, like, you know, between the two bus rides, that was, like, 200 fans. So, I mean, I don't know if that's enough, but I know that's – he at least had started. I hadn't heard about that. So by the time it started at the Garden, you know, everybody, you know, we all knew what was about to be said. And, you know, that was awesome. I mean, that was just great. It was just, you know, we were killing them. And it was like running them out of the rail. So
yeah,
I was shocked. And I called my nephew. I was calling my family like, you know, every 10 minutes. And I called my nephew and I said, you know, this looks really good. And he's really psyched. And just as I hung up, that was when I actually thought in my head, I was like, oh yeah, we're 29-0. You know, there's no way we're gonna blow this. We haven't lost a game with the lead all year. I actually, you know, and I'm thinking this. And I didn't, like, sometimes I think of stuff like that, and then I'm like, oh, shit, now that I thought of it, something bad's going to happen. But right. I didn't really, you know, I didn't think. I was like, okay, you know, we're going to do it. We're not, especially the playoffs, we're going to clamp down, and even if we don't score anymore, we're not going to. And then when they got that stupid goal, at the game on Garden Vision, they only showed the replay up until when Lundqvist put his glove over the puck. They didn't continue the replay where you saw it was still loose. You know what I mean?
What did they think? Right. So
it really was when I watched it on TV. When I watched the first goal on TV, I actually thought it was the right call because he really never had the puck.
Oh,
about
the first goal.
Okay. Yeah, I'm talking about the first one. Yeah, he never really had the puck. He just, you know, but it's one of those plays. I agree with a lot of people. We normally, you know, 90% of the time, the ref, especially the ref in that case, wasn't even behind the net. Exactly. He got there just as Semin put it in. So most of the time, a ref will assume the guy has it and he'll close it off. It's the same thing with the game one goal. It's like weird because in every other case, you know, and I don't think it's a conspiracy or any of that bullshit. That's just ridiculous. I mean, the refs are not out to get us, all right? That's just ridiculous. But, it's just weird that, you know, in most cases, that whistle will blow. And it's like, why are they now feeling like, oh, we have to let the play go on until we're absolutely positively sure he has it for 2 or 3 seconds or something. That's what surprised me because it just, and it's one of those plays where, you know, technically he was right, but historically it just seemed really out of
place. I mean, you make a good point. If that's a regulation game, any game during the season, the ref is there. I mean, he had to make 3 different saves on that. And the,
absolutely.
You know,
he covered it. That's right. He tucked, that's right.
And you get a bad break. I mean, because
It's one goal. You know, the 0-for-7 on the power play to me is way more critical to losing the game than anything else. That was just ridiculous. I was like, you know, the Caps come in, they don't even have, you know, they barely get set up, and then when they get set up, the guy comes out of the box, and they still score. You know, I mean, Stepan, I think, was just coming out of the box, right? I think it was his penalty. You know,
right,
and...
Yeah.
You know, and meanwhile, we're just nothing. McCabe, his great armor is to shoot. He wasn't shooting. He can't carry the puck. He has no speed out of the zone. So it was just like we were in slow motion going into that. And then if we decide to dump it in, nobody's going with any speed. So then we just give the puck away. And the fans next to me are, I mean, I'm thinking this, but I don't like to say stuff, everything that I think of. But everybody around me is verbalizing what I'm thinking. And they're like, why the hell are we going after the puck? And then, or if we go over, why are we going so slow? Or, you know, it was ridiculous, and we just never got set up. And then when we did, you know, we eventually did, it was overpassing, or, well, it was just that. And power play after power play, after a while, when Stepan got taken down and he asked for a penalty shot, I was like, please give us a penalty shot. I'd rather have that than a freaking power play. You know, it was just,
right.
It was unbelievable. I was like, we should be declining. It's like football. We should decline the penalty. We were playing better 5-on-5 than we were on the power play. It was that bad. So. That frustrated me more than the Gabbert thing or whatever.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you look at the Rangers' overall play in the overtimes, at any time did you guys feel that they were trying to win the game?
Oh, not at all.
I still believe in their head they think there's a shootout coming. You know,
you're right. That's right. Exactly. Wait for Zuccarello to come up.
The Capitals? And listen, I don't want to give these bozos any credit, but they're flooding the zone with guys. Especially late in both overtimes, they flood the zone with guys looking to pressure in the Rangers' defensemen, trying to get something, trying to make things happen. I feel like
absolutely.
The Rangers' defense is awesome. The Rangers' defense cannot be credited, and Lundqvist cannot be credited more. But
absolutely.
They look totally gassed in those overtimes. They didn't have.
I think Fulgis, they were backing up. Yeah, right. McDonough and Sauer. I mean, McDonough and Sauer both played a really good game, but in the overtime, it was just like three. Everything was a 3-on-2 or even 3-on-3. I mean, even that play we lost on it, I think technically was a 2-on-3 with Gavrik back. You know, and everything. But every time they came over the line, they just did it with authority. They just came over and like you were worried. And I don't know if you're worried because you're a Ranger fan or you're worried because they look good. But one way or the other, we had just no. There was just no, you know, as Drury said, you know, we're trying to be on our toes. There was none of that. There was
after
just like,
I thought that after the Capitals scored the second goal,
right.
from that point until the end of the game, I didn't think the Rangers controlled the play at any moment. There were a few flurries, you know, a couple of decent shots on goal, a couple of opportunities. But at no point were they control. At no point did they control the play the way they did in the second period. And,
right, exactly.
And
if you think about it, they really didn't control the play in the second period. I mean, it was 7 seconds, which was phenomenal. But in a way, they really didn't control it for a sustained period of time. They just had, you know, Fedotenko play his ass off for 7 seconds is what happened in reality. So, I mean, it's just kind of, you know, we lost both of those draws and we still scored on both those plays. I mean, that to me is kind of a fluky thing in the sense that, you know, how often does that happen? You lose a faceoff twice and you score on both times. I mean, so, you know what I mean? So it's not like we were like the Boyle-Prust Avery line was out there and they were forechecking and then Dubinsky was out there and it was like, oh, you could feel it building and building and then you score. You know,
right.
Which is, I guess, that's kind of like how the first goal in Nisimov was after a sustained amount of a couple of shifts. And then they scored and you were like, okay, that we kind of deserved that. We were working and that was fine. He banked it in, but it was a good play. We sustained the pressure. But the other two were just kind of fluky in a sense. I mean, it was great, but they were still not an indication of how well we were playing. And,
no, but
you know,
they
and
still it still should be enough to devastate at home.
Oh, absolutely.
3-0 with that kind of defense.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and absolutely. There's no excuse. Lundqvist stopping Ovechkin, you know, when he got the puck at the red line, I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. This isn't happening. You know, I'm just like, you know, and I was like, of all people. And then he comes in. And then when he stoned him, I was like, and then actually, at that point, I thought we were going to win. I was like, man. And,
well, yeah.
At that point, I thought,
okay, maybe that's a little bit of a turning point. And then 2 minutes later, I'm like, no, that wasn't a turning point. that was just staving off into the inevitable. That's all that was.
You're right, like the 10th overtime. You're right. That's a good point
that
you made.
And since you brought a control in the play and everything, another thing I didn't understand, at least two times in the overtime, and if I went back and watched the game again, which I'll never do, I'd probably find it more. But there were at least two times in the overtime where the Rangers had the puck in the offensive zone behind the net. There were two Rangers behind the net and the entire rest of the team.
Oh,
They were in the neutral zone.
Yes, like, I know. Yeah, you know, you're right. Avery passed it in front, and there was no – everyone's like, nobody's in front. And then, like, 2 minutes later, the same thing happened, and we were like – so everyone, that's what I was getting so pissed early in the year about, this along the board crap. It's like everyone's so conditioned to go along the boards and like that's how we're going to create chances, but nobody goes to the front of the net. And then Gavrik
point.
Says, yeah, exactly.
The defensemen are outside the blue
that's
line.
Right. Exactly, the defensemen are back
twice.
You know, you're right. Absolutely, I remember both times. I was like within 2 minutes of each other, there were two good chances, and there was like nobody within 30 feet of a pass right to the slot. I was like, you got to be kidding
that's
me.
Playing
you
know, that's playing scared. I mean, you know, look forward
yeah,
what it is.
Just,
play
exactly.
It, not the blues.
I mean, yeah, you're right. And you
Tom
know, you
Coughlin
can,
101.
Well, yeah, you're right. It's frustrating. And I was trying to keep perspective about the whole, you know, to get the experience and all that baloney that, you know, I believe going into the series. But when you're there and you're in and you're winning 3-0, you just, no matter what, you shouldn't blow that. It just shouldn't
happen. Fuck experience. I want to win.
Exactly. Well, especially when you're there.
Before we let you go, I got to ask, do you believe?
Yep. Absolutely, I always believe.
There you go. Now explain that to Robbie when you get back in the chat room. All right.
I'll try.
Talk to
I don't know. I think he's,
I'll
think,
talk to you
right,
next
take
time. All right,
yep,
take
bye-bye.
Care. Bye.
Take care,
good
Mark.
Good call, Mark. Great job. All right.
Yep.
You ready? You ready for more calls?
Sure.
Should I just keep them flowing here? All right. 201-916, I think this is Kristen who's returning to the program all of a sudden the last couple of weeks. Kristen, how are you?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I've been absent.
It's okay.
Sorry about my absence. Oh, I know you guys missed me. I was busy running around. But now that I'm home,
Patrick
Stone, I can talk to you all I want. See? Should be happier I have Timmy Stone so I can talk and come online.
Wow.
first of all, I think that they should have called that penalty on Freda Tank. I mean, whoever trips Freda Tanko up, Nicholas Backstrom.
Right.
Because, yeah, they should have called that, because then they called it, you know, asinine penalty call on Avery with the slashing. And I don't think that was slashed, like, from my view. Actually, I'm in the 400s. But anyways, I mean, if they're going to have to call the tripping, then they should not have called the slasher on Avery, because that led to the third goal, the tying goal, you know?
Right. Well,
so
now, when I looked at the call on the replay, I thought he did slash him. And did he slash Ovechkin? So right there, you know, something's going to go down because it's Ovechkin and Avery.
Yeah.
And it may not be fair, but that's the way it goes.
Ovechkin's not an angel either. Look at him. I mean, you know what I mean?
Well, we all know that.
He gets away with a lot of crap, too. You saw that one play, the last game, and he slashed somebody like three times, and it took him like the third time for them to call a penalty on him, on Ovechkin. You know what I mean? But Avery does it one little time, and then they call it on him. Yeah.
I was a little afraid. Like, I was a little afraid after that Avery would get benched after that, you know, because they did score.
Yeah, me too. I was like,
It seemed for a little bit that it might have come true when I was getting on Tortorella. I was like, they better not bench Avery. He's one of the better players in this game. I mean, there were a lot of calls. You know, if you go back on in it, I thought the Semin cross-check of Mark Stahl, how do they miss that?
Oh, yeah, that was terrible.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know. He was on
cross-check
the
back.
And, like, Kuss had to stay on the ice just to get that call, you know what I mean?
Right.
When Puss got boarded, he had to stay on the ice just to get it, because I bet you they would have just ignored it. But he stayed on the ice for a couple of seconds for them to realize that he was on the ice and to call that. It doesn't matter anyway. We don't score. I call it a powerless play. We don't score on the power play. I don't know what's going on with that. Just throw the puck at the net. You know what I mean? If you don't do that, you're not going to get any lucky bounces or anything like that. If you throw the puck at the net, you're going to get something. The shots on goal were very, very low in the first period for the Rangers. You know what I mean?
Block. I thought there was a guy on the ice for the Capitals. Block. This block. Are the Rangers just shooting at the opponents? I don't know.
I'm not an expert. I'm not going to say I am, but like you see, sometimes they wait, they pass it too long, and then when they do shoot it, the zone is closed up, the lane's closed up, the shooting lane's closed up. But when the lane's wide open, then they pass it instead of shooting it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So they wait too long. Huh? They got to move around.
Well,
look what
Alsner said after game one or game two. He said they made it very easy for us to block shots.
Right, because you're not moving around. You're just saying, okay, let me just stay here. You know, you got to move around. It's like basketball, give and go, you know.
Because
you're on your feet. You got to give and go. You got to move, go in, go through the lane, get in there, and shoot at the net. You know, you can't be like staying in one place. I mean, it's easier to say it said than done. Trust me, I play, you know. So it's easier said than done. So we can't keep on yelling, you know, shoot it. Because you guys get on the ice. If you guys, I don't know if anybody plays in the chat room, but trust me, it's not easy at all. So.
Nah. I always yell pass. I hate people who yell shoot, so I just yell, pass. People look at me like I'm crazy,
I was there with my kidney stone pack. I have all my pills and everything, and they go into my bag, and I thought they were going to take my Percocets and stuff, and I'm like, here's my doctor's note. And he's like, they're like, what the hell are you doing here? I'm like, I bleed blue. So do my kidneys. I pee red.
Kidney stone.
I had to cut the line. I had the 50 chicks like about to beat the shit out of me. And I'm like, thank God I got my doctor's note that I'm fucking kidney stone. I'm like, I'm like, so does the lady from SG. I'm like, look, I don't want to get beat up. I was like, well, I could take all these girls anyway, but they probably have drunk half of them. But I was like, I got to go to the bathroom now. I went like half the game. I had to leave after the third period. I couldn't stay. I was like, why am I going to stay? Because I just knew the outcome. You know what I mean? I get home. I live in Rutherford. I get home.
You had a doctor. No, I think that excuses you.
Yeah.
You know,
but I stayed there. At least I went. I mean, come on.
I'm not giving you a flag.
I don't want to give up my ticket on Sunday. I had to give it up. You know, I don't want to. Trust me.
Trust me.
I've been there with the fever, everything.
I've met you, and I know you're a Super Ranger fan and one of the good ones.
I'm a crazy fuck. I'm a crazy fuck.
All right, Kristen.
Listen, oh, wait. Jack is asking me to pledge for his beard. So please pledge Zach's beard on the website. I pledged for him already, so hopefully we'll make it that far that he can keep growing it.
All right, before we let you go, do you believe?
I do believe. You never know. Miracles do happen. I mean, we just had to get through this game, you know. Saturdays, we just had to beat them there. Hopefully, you know, I think that we're going to have a sour taste in our mouth from this game, and then we're going to bounce back, and then hopefully bring it home.
All right.
You never know. You never know. So,
right.
We'll talk to you next time. You never know. All right. Thanks a lot. Have a good night.
Take care, Kristen.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. All right. Bye.
Kristen believes.
Kristen's a diehard Ranger fan.
There you go. 347-894. Is this Rock?
Yes, it is, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm better than my voice is right now. Sorry.
Is that from last night?
Oh, it is from last night, and a lot of screaming, a lot of yelling, and a lot of cursing on the drive home. I'll tell you, if you guys were on after the game last night, the profanity that would have came out of my mouth, or you would have had to turn down the radio because I was fuming last night. I actually picked up my playoff tickets last night. I didn't get to game three. I was on away last weekend, and I didn't make it to game three. So I sold my tickets to a couple of friends, and so I picked up my playoff tickets last night, and last night I got into the car and I just took them and chucked them into the back of my seat. I was so friggin' pissed off with this team. And I think it just boils down to the fact that, this guy came out, he ran his mouth, and he walks out of there, this stupid effing porky pig, redneck son of a bitch, friggin's going to walk into our building, talk shit about our team, and we lose in that fashion, to me, was the biggest smack in the face as a Ranger fan. Our blood, sweat, and tears are poured into this team all season long. There's no other passionate fan, I think, in the NHL, at least in North America, like a Ranger fan is. And it seems like every friggin' season, they seem to lose in heartbreaking, gut-wrenching fashions. And it's gone since the lockout. No matter what's happened, every friggin' season, it's a gut-wrenching loss. If it's not, I mean, if you think back on every playoff series or everything for the last, since the lockout, between Olli Jokinen, between blowing a lead against Pittsburgh, the 3-1 series lead against Washington, and they were winning game one the year before against Pittsburgh. They were up 3-0 in game one against that team. They would have put that young team on their heels. They blew that game. The year before that, we know the whole Chris Drury debacle. And then before that, being in first place all friggin' season and then falling apart down the stretch and getting swept by the Devils. Every friggin' season, it's the same gut-wrenching, heartbreaking losses. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they win Saturday. I think Washington's going to go in there. They're going to play all loose and blah, blah, blah. And the Rangers are probably going to win Saturday. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to say I don't believe. I just think that they lost two pretty tough games in overtime. I don't trust this team if they go to overtime. I mean, It sounds silly to think this. This team, I think they're playing for a friggin' shootout in the playoffs.
Huh.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, they generated no offense at all in two overtime periods. They generated no offense at all. I mean, they had a couple of opportunities, but, I mean, I just don't know. I mean, if this team goes to overtime again, I don't think they can score. And that's the part that scares me is, like, this team, all they have to do is score one goal, two goals, and I don't know. I'm just so fed up with every season it being the same thing. I know there's no right way to lose. I know there's no it's just the way they lose every season. They just tear your friggin' heart out. And last night was another one of those games where you actually were I felt I was embarrassed to be a Ranger fan last night because they let this guy talk smack about our team, about, you know, he walked into our building, the fans were riled up, they were fuming, they were screaming, they were yelling, and now this guy walks out of our building with this big giant grin on his face saying, oh, I got one over on New York, and that's the part that pisses me off. Because this team, they should have put him the F away last night. They should have stuck it down this guy's throat, and they didn't do it.
I can't argue with you. I got nothing. I can't follow that up with anything.
Well, I know what you're saying, and I can definitely feel that way. I felt like by the Rangers getting out to that 3-0 lead, and they didn't seal the deal, and you're absolutely right. They didn't have the last laugh on this guy. But it was almost like this fat bastard must have been shitting his pants. What did I start? The Rangers are off, actually, you know, coming at us now. And for that small period of time, they did. At the second period, I think the Rangers were dominating the play. For the first time, they looked like they were taking it to them on a consistent basis. But other than that second period, I don't think the Rangers had any interest in winning that game. Where they said, listen, I know we're just going to play the way we're going. You know, what hurts them is also what helps them. Well, we're going to play, you know, we're going to do what we do, tight checking, that's how we win. You hear play after player say this, and, you know, we're just going to keep doing. Sometimes you got to just break out of that mold, and there's got to be a player that says, listen, you know, Torts, shove it. You know, I'm not going to back check on this. I'm going to try to, you know, make a play. Just, you know, you got Henrik back there. He's already given breakaways up to Ovechkin. You know, somewhere there's got to be a gamble, a roll of the dice by somebody. And I just didn't feel, I felt like, again, I said it earlier and I said it several times, I felt like they're still waiting for the shootout. They just don't seem interested in taking the game. And you know, for, you know, Washington, the way they won that game, for lack of a more politically correct word, was retarded. That was a retarded loss. That's only a loss that happened in the New York Ranger annals of history.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, I've never been to a hockey game. Now, I've been a season ticket holder since right before the lockout. But I've never witnessed a game live that had the emotional roller coaster that game had last night, where fans were literally jumping into each other's arms, screaming, yelling, you know, as happy as, you know, a pig in shit, to being completely and utterly distraught in one game. I have never witnessed that live.
That was the worst loss I've ever witnessed.
Excuse me?
Marcy Braverman sent me a text message after the game. She said people were crying walking out of the garden last night, literally crying.
And unlike Mark, and he, I give him a lot of credit for watching that game. I came home, I had a DVR, I deleted it right away. I didn't turn on NHL on the Fly. I didn't listen to anything. I read some of the newspaper articles. Other than that, I wanted nothing to do with last night's game. I want to forget it, and I never want to think about it again. And in some respects, to me, it's almost worse than the Buffalo game with our boy Drury, because they had this game in the bag, and they just totally fell apart. And in some facets, to me, it was a more of a gut-wrenching loss. Because with the Buffalo game, you didn't have that emotional roller coaster that you experienced in this game last night. And, you know, and throw the Boudreaux stuff on top of that, where they should have stuffed it down this guy's throat. And not only that, I had George McPhee sitting in the press box right in front of me, and that little shit freaking gloating and clapping his hands and banging his hands on the table after they scored. And it just made me even more infuriated. So, I mean, the whole package together was one of the worst nights I've ever experienced at the Garden. And I give Mark a lot of credit for watching the game. I want nothing to do with that game. I don't want to put it in the back of my mind. I want to forget it. And like I said, the Rangers are probably going to win Saturday, because it'd be fitting for them to come home Monday and break our hearts again. I hope I'm wrong. I really hope it goes seven. Like I said, I wanted the game to go seven, series to go seven. I hope it does. I hope they show some gumption. I hope they show some balls, and they push this team to the max. But, you know, I don't know. I want to believe, but I don't know. I don't know if you can come back from two knockout punches like they have in this series between game one and last night. So I don't know.
No, not too many teams can. But let me ask you, I want to ask you one question, and I'll ask you and Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, even though this series, you know, is developed the way it is, with double overtime, one overtime game, which almost went to double overtime, do you think, even with the losing, that this is a good experience for the young guys? Or do you think maybe the losing psychologically could affect these guys down the road? Or do you think it's just good that they're in the playoffs? You guys still with that, on board with that?
Yeah, I think they learned a hard, I mean, I am. I think they learned a very hard lesson last night. You know, because I think that when it all was said and done, what that was a very young team that was completely unraveled after that first goal. They were not the same team after that first goal. The win, all their swagger, whatever you want to call it, their gumption, their moxie, their chutzpah, whatever you want to call it. See, there's another Jewish word. It was gone. It was gone. They were a completely different team.
Jimmy, I agree with you wholeheartedly, and again, it boils down to no really strong veteran leadership on this team, because I can guarantee you, and I'm not even going to go to Messier, I'm going to go to Jágr, and a lot of people had a lot of problem with Jágr. They felt that he dogged in the regular season. I can almost guarantee you that if Jágr was on this team last night, that wouldn't have happened. He would have held every one of those guys accountable, not like our captain, Lamb Eyes, who is afraid of his own shadow. And again, it boils down to no strong leadership in this. And with Callahan being out, it's even worse.
Did you just call him Lamb Eyes?
Nobody that knows how to win on this team. And who played the best last night? Ruslan Fedotenko.
Yeah,
he's the
great
reason they scored two of the goals.
Yeah, it's a good series.
I mean, you want to, that's really what it boils down to. They have nobody on this team that knows how to win.
I don't know. I can't pin it on the veteran leadership, because there is veteran leadership. I mean, you got Prosper, you got Fedotenko, you got Drury. I mean, I just think
I don't think Drury's a strong. I don't think Drury's a strong
but
leader.
But you know, he's also, you know, he's only playing. He's only taking faceoffs, defensive faceoffs, and penalty kill. So there's, you know, he took a couple of shifts in overtime just because everybody else was so gassed. But, you know, and we had that argument the other night that he's not completely healthy. But, you know, whatever. But, you know, I can't really pin it on the veteran leadership. I just think they just learned a hard lesson last night. You know, growing up, they still have growing up to do.
You're right. And they got a lot of young guys. And they also have a lot of young guys who have never played in a playoff series and have never, it's different. I mean, they want to keep saying 29-0, you know, going, you know, winning in the third period. But, you know, a playoff series is a huge – a playoff game is so much different than a regular season game. And these guys learned it the hard way last night.
Absolutely.
You know, they learned the hard way, and they really, you know, there's no shootout.
And they've learned it.
Boils down to.
They've learned it twice in this series. So.
Absolutely.
But see, I still have a problem with – I agree with you on the defense. These guys are getting valuable, but then I look on the offense. And how many young guys do we really have? We have Stepan, we have Anisimov, and Dubinsky, right?
I mean, if you think about it, Brandon Prust, Brian Boyle, none of these guys have played in the playoffs. I mean, maybe Prust played a little bit, maybe played a little bit with Calgary or with Phoenix, but I mean, you got a lot of guys. I mean, Wolski's played in the playoffs with Colorado very briefly. He barely played. And that's the other thing you got to take into consideration. The offensive guys, I mean, Wolski was brought in here to score goals. He's not even, he barely played.
Yeah.
But,
and he
you
did
know,
have
like you said,
a couple of. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to follow up with that. They have guys that are not necessarily 20, 21, 22 years old they have those young guys, but they also have the 25, 26-year-old guys that are also making their playoff debut, like Gilroy, you know, like Boyle, like Prust. They have those guys as well. So, I mean, they have a bunch of guys that have never really experienced a playoff series before.
All right.
Yeah.
Well.
All right, Rock. Listen, I got to get to other calls.
All right,
but,
gentlemen.
We'll talk to you next time. Thanks,
yeah,
Rock.
Guys, have a good night, all right?
Take care, man.
Later.
Yep, you too.
Bye. All right. Sorry, we're going to start moving the phone calls a little quicker. So I don't want to keep everybody on hold for so long. Zach, what's going on, buddy?
Gabrick, you rat bastard. You pull a skull like that one more time. I'm going to take a hockey stick and shove it up your fucking throat. I don't give
wow.
a rat ass if you scored that one goal. That goal would have dead stars, and therefore you're still on your goal drought. You're not even a human fucking being. What are you major about fucking numbnuts? I can't believe it. We're up 3-0, and then we lose that shit in double overtime. I knew it was going to be a garbage score like that. I knew it. What the hell? The major, the pain and anguish I had to go through at the NHL store today. Too many Caps fans. Too many Islander fans there as well. And I had to shut those Islands fans up. And they are all just floating in their victory. And whoever scored that game winner, whoever got credit for that game winner, whatever his name is, they had T-shirts for him at the store. And I can't tell you how many of those we sold. We sold so many of those, I was so pissed. I called Gabrick a trade the entire day. And my manager thought it was funny, but I was pissed.
Jason Chimera?
Whatever his name is, I don't give a rat's ass anymore.
He's a bald bastard, too. I actually called him as the goal scorer. I want to be one of these guys with the crystal balls, too. I did actually, though. Say, Jason Chimera!
Well, this morning, Ken Jago comes in. He sees me, and he knew I was going to be pissed. And he's shaking his head. He's smiling. And he's like, you know, Zach, I feel your pain, because you know, obviously he went through that as well. But it's like, you know, seriously, get it real. Up 3-0. Only that could happen to the Rangers. Never mind the Kings. The Kings always suck. But the Rangers of all teams.
Yeah, because we've always been so great.
Unbelievable. And guess who was at the game last night? Gary Bettman. Guess where he was sitting? Behind the Capitals bench. Guess how many rows up there was? It was about 4 or 5. That guy hates the Rangers. He wants us to lose. He wants us to fail miserably. That first goal by the Caps, that should have been blown dead. Anybody says that if that happened to any other team, any other player, they would have blown that dead no matter what.
I agree with you on that play. Who was that Bettman sitting next to? Somebody famous, right?
Who cares?
I saw Matthew Modine was there, and
Modine was there. Richter was sitting there with next to Michael Bloomberg. That fucknut.
Even the mayor is getting thrown under the bus. Well, I don't blame Gabrick. I don't blame anybody. You know, it just I know everybody's hurt from the loss, but it takes a village to lose a game, and we have a lot of nuts in our village and a lot of losers.
What was up with that missed call? Stepan should have been awarded a penalty shot. I mean, seriously.
I was borderline on that. I thought he really wasn't free and clear. I don't know what they're calling the criteria for penalty shots nowadays, but I think we all wanted it since the.
The criteria is if you're not a Ranger, you get awarded a penalty shot. If you are a Ranger, if it's against the Capitals, you're not going to get a penalty shot. Oh, sure, they gave us a penalty, but we are the best penalty killers on our own power play. That is like the best time for me to take a nap. And I don't want to take a nap during a game. I want to be riled up like I am right now. I was screaming on that bus. I almost won tickets. And I'll tell you, that was a funny story, too. But seriously, you know, we were loud. We were answering Boudreaux's, call. And we were energizing the Rangers. We were screaming during the national anthem. What the hell?
Well, I feel your pain. And I have now dubbed the Ranger power play the David Wright power play, which is 0-7.
All right,
that's,
Zach.
All right,
do you
Zach.
Believe, Zach?
Do you believe, Zach?
I do believe in spooks. I do believe in spooks. I do believe in spooks.
So the Wizard of Oz, ladies and gentlemen.
I'll type in the chat room what happened with the contest to win the tickets. It's actually really funny.
Okay, cool. All right.
Yeah, so I'll let you get on some other callers, and I don't know. Let's call Rangers.
Yeah. All right, Zach. I feel for you, man. Take care, man. Get some rest.
Rat bastard.
Talk to you later, Zach. All right. Here we go. Costa, what's going on?
Zach, if you're listening, next time we meet, I owe you a drink. What do you think I'm going to say? Take a wild guess. What do you think I'm going to say?
You're going to jump the ship.
Good for
no. you. Spend, this is what you're going to say. If you spend another dime on this team, you're all idiots.
Washington winning is good for business.
That's right. That's right. They got to sell all the Ovechkin jerseys in the stores, Zach. They got to sell all the Ovechkin jerseys in the stores, Zach. What do you think? And Bevan being behind the bench, behind the glass by the Capitals, who do you think he wanted to win? He didn't want the Rangers to win. He wanted the Caps to win. What are you talking about? Come on. Come on, buddy. Yeesh.
I think I could translate what he said is that Bettman was behind the Capitals bench, and that's who he wanted to win. That's when that's his sign to the refs that the fix is in. So, yeah.
Sounds like Mel Gibson on the other side.
I'm going to kill you, bitch!
I deserve to be blown! But Mel, you said we were going to jacuzzi. You told me we were going to...
Hey, you want to go to jacuzzi?
What did I tell...
I don't want the jacuzzi. Fuck the jacuzzi. Oh, thank God this show makes me laugh. I'd be crying. So, do you believe, Costa?
No one, I hope I'm wrong.
Can you breathe?
Are you with us? Okay.
No one, I hope I'm wrong. I don't believe, and I hope I'm wrong.
I guess that's kind of, I don't think he deserves to be blown up for that. Yeah, he wants a root. The Rangers up 3-0 in the next game. You think it's sealed?
let me just say this. In the third period, they should have trapped the living hell out of the Caps. They should have played trap. Everybody says, "Oh, the trap sucks. I don't like the trap. I don't like the trap. I don't like the trap." Let me tell you something. If a team like the Rangers or the freaking Toronto Maple Leafs came up with the trap and winning championships, no one would say a damn thing. Because it's the Devils, everybody complains. Oh, it's the Devils, they trap. You know, really. I'm telling you, I would have trapped. If I was told, I would have went into a trap mode. I would have trapped the shit out of the ring, out of the Caps. I would have trapped the hell out of them. But, you know, they don't trap. They don't trap.
Well, I can't disagree with that.
It's a bunch of garbage.
Thank you, Paulie.
All right,
go to the next call. I'm out of here.
All right, take care, bro.
Are these the greatest calls we've ever had? People.
Everybody's
having
a lot of
meltdown.
Really good...
Yeah.
I love the meltdowns.
Yeah,
we all had them last night. Might as well have them again in person.
All right. Let's see what Chandler's got. Chandler, good evening. Welcome to the show.
Hey guys, how's it going?
All right. How are you?
I'm not good. You know,
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at what you said. I'm not good.
I'm so fucked. I'm sick of the shit with Gavrik. I'm sick of it. Okay. Gavrik is not the one who couldn't prepare a team to play for 60 fucking minutes. Gavrik is not the one who changed the defensive scheme and told these guys to lay back, not be aggressive, and not try to get a fourth goal. Okay? Gavrik is not the one that was standing around while fucking people were hammering at the goalie and while a ref was having a fucking sandwich and a beer, and they scored the first goal. Gavrik wasn't the one who didn't call a fucking timeout after the second goal, not the third goal, when the score's already tied. Now you want to change the momentum. This is all on fucking Tortorella. It's all on Tortorella. He's a fucking moron, okay? You got a guy. Gavrik's not scoring. Well, he's not scoring because you got a coach who tells him, don't shoot, don't do shit, go back check. He's a sniper. Snipers don't back check. Snipers don't grind. They hang out to the outside. They wait for a pass, and they shoot. That's what they do. You got a guy trying to play a game he's not equipped to play, which is why he poked the fucking puck into our own net. I don't give a fuck if it went on somebody else. He shot it in our own net. Why? Because he's trying to do something he's not capable of doing, which is play defense. You got four other guys. You got four other guys on the ice when he's there. Let them back check. Let him do what he's supposed to fucking do. But no, now we want to play defense. Everybody got to play defense. Nobody shoot. We can't score on the fucking power play. We can't do anything because all we need to do is play defense. It was 3-0. And they gave the fucking game away because they came out, and if you watched it, they came out in those first 5 minutes and they did everything that they didn't do in the first 2 periods, they did in the first 5 minutes. They sent 5 guys to the puck side. Well, they weren't doing that in the first 2 periods. They stopped shooting and everybody started backing up. What the hell do you think is going to happen? You're going to give the game away.
Exactly.
And it's, Gavrik. You know what? I keep thinking about Steve Yzerman when he was in when Scotty Bowman took over Detroit. Yzerman was scoring 50 and 60 fucking goals a year. Scotty Bowman took over. The man never scored over fucking 40 goals again. Yes, they won 2 cups, but he totally changed the way that guy played. Now, Scotty Bowman's a Hall of Fame coach. It worked for him. Tortorella's not a Hall of Fame coach. It's not working for him. It's not working. You cannot make guys play a game that they're not equipped to play. You can't. The reason we're not scoring is because everybody's so concerned with back-checking and not making a mistake and not getting benched if they make a mistake, then nobody's equipped to score anymore. The only, you know, and all these people screaming about Gavrik, nobody was screaming about it when he was scoring 42 goals last year. He wasn't back-checking in either. Okay, he wasn't grinding in either, but he scored 42 goals. Now that he's only scored 20 goals, now, hold on, it's all his fault. It's his fault we don't score on a power play. The team gave the game away. The team gave the game away because the coach couldn't prepare them to play a 60-minute fucking game. All season, 100 games damn near, and we haven't played one 60-minute game. How is that possible? How is that possible? It was always Drury, it's this guy. How is it possible that the coach, whose only job it is to prepare the team and get them motivated to play a complete game? That's his only job. So all he has to do, get them prepared to play 60 minutes. When have we played a 60-minute game? Name one game we played 60 minutes all season. One game.
What about the 7-0 7-0 shutout on the Caps?
That wasn't even a 60-minute game. There was parts of that game where the Capitals fucking took over. They just couldn't score that night. We didn't shut them down for 60 minutes.
How about when they beat Vancouver 1-0?
Okay, that, you know what? I'll give you that one. That one, you're right, because I watched
that
game. I'll give you that one.
No.
That was a hell of a game. I remember that game. But,
I've said this to Chandler. There's several points you hit on about Tortorella. And, you know, listen, I don't blame him, but I concur with you. I blame the whole team because really but let me get to the points that I really agree with you on. I feel like the offensive players are neutered by Tortorella. They're afraid to make any mistakes. If you notice, the guys who get benched first are the Christensens. Now, listen, I'm not a big Christensen fan, but the Volskys, the Zuccarellos, the Anisimovs, the guy, not Anisimov, because he is known a little bit for his defense, but it's offensive guys that ride the pine quick if they're not back. And you're sometimes those guys just got to freestyle, you know, and they got to do their thing. So,
I mean, and again, everybody's right. Yeah, the team gave the game away, not one guy. The team gave the game away. And but I keep going back to we can't get a 60-minute game. We can't get a 60-minute game. Game one, we gave a period away. Game two, we gave a period away. Game three, we gave a period away even though we won. Game four, we gave a period away. And everything he says,
I think they gave away three periods last night.
Oh, my God, that overtime was horrible. I mean, he played two defensemen, basically all of the overtime. I didn't see anybody else on the ice other than Stoll and Girardi. McDonough came on one time when Stoll just couldn't even fucking move, and I think McDonough jumped on, and then he came right back off, and Stoll came back on the ice. You know, I mean, Wolski played less than 10 minutes of an almost 90-minute game last night. How is that possible? How is it possible that an offensive player in a game that you need to score to win gets less than 10 minutes?
He actually had a couple opportunities, too, Wolski, in that overtime.
Yeah, and then he pulled
a couple. Yeah, you're right. Listen, these are a lot of the criticisms that I was saying last night, you know. And, I mean, to you, did it look like the Rangers were interested in winning that game in double overtime?
No, they were just trying to hang on. Their whole thing is just hang on. Just hang on and hopefully something will happen.
Hanging on and hoping to catch a break.
Yeah, and that's not how they got the lead. So why would you play that way after you have a lead? How does that possibly work? I mean, most of us have played organized sports. We all know if you stop doing what you were doing to get ahead, you lose the game. You know, it's written in stone. When you stop doing what you do to get the lead, you will lose the game. It never fails.
Have the Giants taught them nothing? Right?
Oh my God! I mean, I know a lot of the fans that we have now in their 30s. They don't remember, you know, how often this has happened. You know, I mean, being a Ranger fan means. You know, you're going to be miserable. That's the thing. You're miserable if you're a Ranger fan. You have to love the misery. I love the fucking misery. If people ask me when the Stanley Cup playoffs are going, who you think are going to win? The Rangers? Are the Rangers in it? No. Well, who do you think is going to win? The Rangers. You're not listening to me. Okay, I don't give a shit if they're in the playoffs or not. The Rangers are going to win the Cup. I say it every fucking year. Does it happen? No. I don't care. That's who's going to win. You call me in fucking July and ask me who's going to win the Cup, I'm going to say the Rangers. You say, but the playoffs are over. I don't care. The Rangers are going to win the Cup.
Yeah, for us older guys, this isn't our first walk in the park with this kind of misery. I mean, that's for sure.
I remember 79. We won the first game against Montreal and then got smoked. You kidding me?
I know. Yeah, because Bunny LaRocque, who was going to start in game two, got hurt in practice, and then it was Ken Dryden the rest of the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was
They had to make a goaltending change, you know. Yeah.
All right, Chandler. Listen, we're going to get some other calls in.
All right, guys.
Okay. Great call, man. Great
Let's
job.
Call, man.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you Saturday.
Take it easy.
Okay. Take care, man.
All right.
He's always funny.
He is. Speaking of, what are we doing? When's our next show? What are we doing?
I don't know. When they play, Monday or Tuesday?
Saturday.
Saturday. Oh, that's the next home game.
No, it's the next game, period. Yeah, I think it's a 3 o'clock game.
Ah, why don't we shoot for Saturday night? Wait, am I doing something Saturday night? No, I'm not doing anything. If you're available, we could do Saturday or we could do Sunday.
Let me how about if they win, we'll do Saturday. If they lose, no, I'm just kidding. I don't want to confuse people. Somebody straighten me out on the schedule. 3 p.m. Saturday says 12 p.m. All right, so 7, We'll do 7 p.m. on Saturday. All right, and then we'll see what happens. After that, we'll either be back for the next game or we'll be off for 2 weeks, taking a break. We'll be back with Monty Hall.
Yeah, really.
So
7.
All right, what else we got here?
All right, we got Jack Love. How are you, buddy?
Feeling the same way as everybody else. Pretty depressed on how they finished that game up. It's funny. In the regular season, they were 29-0 with the lead going into the third period. Once you know, the very first chance they have it in the playoff game, they blow it.
Of course.
You know,
Murphy's Law.
And
Bob Murphy's Law.
Bob Murphy's Law.
You know, that to have 7 power plays and only get 4 shots on goal, I mean, to be honest, they deserve to lose. I mean, 1 goal, that's all he asked for. If they would have made it 4-0, I would have felt good. Going into the third period when it was 3-0, I said to myself, if the Caps score an early goal in this period, it's that old Ranger bad magic. They're going to have to hold off again. And when they made it 3-2, I said, uh-oh, this is not going to end good. But you still feel the confidence. I mean, they held in there for a while, but I guess it just wasn't to be. And that overtime goal was just pathetic. Couldn't look at it. I shut the TV off right off.
Yeah, it was, like I said, it was such a nothing goal. And but you're right. Although, I was following some of the other series. I saw Pittsburgh was struggling on the power play. I tried to, say, well, okay, the Rangers can struggle on the power play again. But you know what? When the Rangers are playing the Capitals, they can't afford to squander 7 power plays.
Exactly.
They just don't score. The Rangers don't score.
It puts more pressure on the Rangers when they're killing off penalties, knowing that they're not going to score on the power play, that they have to keep them from scoring. And I just can't believe it. 4 shots. It seems like when they go out there, they'll pass it to the point, and they'll hold the puck too long, so the defenseman sets up and gets him in his way. He'll pass the puck to the other guy. He'll doodle and spin, send it behind the net. Then they back to the point, and they hardly ever shoot. I mean, it's the same old crap, it seems, for the last few years. I don't know what the answer is here. But, man, you're not going to go anywhere.
As talented as their defense is defensively, offensively, they're bad.
Not so much.
Yeah. I mean, they can't keep the puck in for nothing. In the overtimes, they're behind the blue line. They're looking to play defense. They don't want to give up. They don't want to take a chance. You'll see Stahl once in a while, make a move in there. I love Dan Girardi. He blocked a ton of shots last night. He played a great game.
Yep. He's great.
But offensively, these guys are offensively challenged. And we haven't talked about the McDonough bad pass that led to a goal. Now, I'll take that. I can swallow that more because he's a first-year player and it's a learning experience. Next time he's going to skate the puck out, hopefully, rather than just make that pass. Plenty of room to skate, and he decides to make that, gift wrap, pass that was intercepted. Go ahead.
Weren't the Rangers around the blue line? I don't remember any Ranger being close to him to pass it to. He kind of just threw it right out in front.
Yeah.
Well, this is a learning experience for a lot of these guys. We got a good, strong core of young kids. I don't know what's going to happen in the offseason. It's going to be interesting with Gabby and Delzato. I don't know if they're going to whip up a trade or something, or maybe get a guy like Parisi or something. But you got to work on that power play.
I certainly would think Zach Parisi for sure.
He's an RFA, though. It's going to be hard to accomplish.
Yeah. Yes. But if there's anybody you could bid with, you probably could bid with the Devils. I guess they don't have too much money to spend.
That's true.
But, I don't know how that all works.
You spent it all on donuts for Belodour.
And with the cold Kovalchuk, signed him for 100 years. But, you know, it's just, again, I never at any point thought the Rangers wanted to win in overtime. I just didn't feel that way. I didn't feel like they deserved to win. I wanted them to win.
Yep.
I was hoping they get lucky.
They seem to get outplayed in the overtime. I mean, every single overtime, it's like, man, they're not aggressive. And you're right. We need a defenseman who takes some chances. Man, we miss Brian Leetch, huh?
Oh, yeah. My God. I wanted him to suit up last night. I said,
even
on the power play better than Perron can.
McCabe.
Yeah.
I think even Esposito at his age now also could stand in front of the net and score more goals than what we got. We just don't have guys that want to take the punishment and pay the price like an Adam Graves did to stand in front of that net and deflect some shots. We're just – the power play just – it's just upsetting to see seven power plays go to waste like that. And when they made it 3-1 in that period, I just said, oh, man. Here we go.
Yeah, we all saw it coming.
Yeah. Just couldn't hold on. I said 3-0. Okay, we're going to play good defensively. You know, all right, 3-1. But, you know, you have that confidence and say, you know, they haven't lost a game going into the third period when they had a lead. And usually that's like 1-0 or 2-1. I mean, we had a 3-goal lead going into the third period.
Right.
You know, and, you know, I'm just surprised at the finish. I just couldn't believe it. It's like if you turned on that TV and saw 3-0 and said, oh, I got it. I'll be back. I'll turn on later. I think you would have been shocked to hear that they lost that game. But,
it was,
you know,
a stupefying loss. Stupefying loss. It was a stunner.
Yeah.
I'm stunned.
It's one of the top 10, definitely, that I've seen, but I think for me, the very worst overtime that I ever went through was back in 74 when the Islanders were the upcoming team and the Rangers had powerful team of Rattell, Brad Park, and they lost on a goal. Yep, J.P. Parisi scored 11 seconds in the overtime. I said, you got to be kidding me. That was a big hurt, but Ranger fans have to go through a lot of pain. I mean, it's unbelievable. If they're going to come back against any team, this is the team to do it against because they've blown like how many series when they were up 3-1? At least two, I know.
A couple of them.
Yeah, might be more. But until Washington wins that fourth game, I'm very optimistic. Maybe they're going to come all out. We do play better on the road. And that's another thing we got to work on for next year, too, is winning these games at home. That's just pathetic how we just are like an average team at home. We're a Jekyll and Hyde team, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
I don't want to hold it up. Good show.
Okay.
It's been hilarious. And keep our fingers crossed. Maybe they could build up a 9-0 lead or something. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
They're probably better off playing a 1-0 game after that. I really don't know what to expect out of this team, but each game has a mind of its own. You get a lucky bounce here and there, and things can happen. You know, that's what makes hockey so interesting. You could play real well, but it's that fluky goal that goes in that could change everything. And we're due, I think.
Huh. All right.
All right, guys.
All right, take it easy. We'll talk to you next time.
Okay, you got it. Bye.
Bye.
All right,
great
we got
Jack
one more.
Love.
Great Jack Love. Great call. Excellent calls tonight from everyone. And our last call of the evening, and then we'll see you guys Saturday, 7 o'clock Eastern time. Last call of the night, 212-673. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Gabrick, you rat bastard. You try that stunt one more time, I'm going to take your hockey stick and shove it up your ass.
Oh, it's Zach again.
I am still fumed by that.
You called in on a different number just to get back on the air?
Yeah, why not? I figured you guys needed to laugh. Because we've been doing...
Now I'm laughing.
Wow. I want to thank everybody for coming out tonight. This really, it actually lift my spirits to laugh with you guys and talk to you. And I really, I mean, Jim, didn't you feel it was kind of cathartic to commiserate with the Ranger fans and
Oh, absolutely.
You know, our fellow fans, you know, I feel better. Although I believe, but I'm a little bit like Costa at this point. I think maybe before game time, I'll be ready to go. But right now I'm still smarting. So that's about it for me.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Take care. And thanks, everybody, for showing up tonight. Good night.
All right. I'm going to go eat my dinner, and
okay,
I will talk
brother.
To you later. All right?
Okay. Take care, man.
All right. You too. Good night.